Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
It's Wednesday, Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and with me is Dan the Man. You can call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email sporttimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sports.com. Of course, you know that since it is Wednesday, the blog popped up over there this morning. So swing on by over there, check that out. You know the deal. While you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit the link. Follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. Like that while you were over there. Well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time. Dan is at
Dan Zeman.
All right, Dan, so we spent some time yesterday talking about the fact that managed to find their way into the Hall of Fame, well, the baseball, I should say, to be fair. You know, Kurt Schilling was close, and it looks like he's on track to get in next year. Well, not surprisingly, Kurt Schilling came out and had something to say. I don't know if you saw his post, Dan, but he said he would like to be removed from the ballot and just let his decision on if or not go to the Veterans Committee, because then it's people who actually know about the deciding if he's a Hall of Famer or not. Now, Dan, there's two school thoughts on this. I'm interested to know where you stand. There's the thought that Schilling is actually legitimately secure and he wants off the ballot. And then there's the other theory that thinks it's really just kind of a conspiracy on his part to try to get the voters to vote for him. Where are you at?
I don't know. I think he's just I'm in the boat where he just needs – he's speaking the truth. I mean, let's be honest.
It's easy to agree with. What I didn't realize, Dan, and we would have found this out in February when we looked at the ballots, there were 14 writers that didn't submit ballots.
Then they shouldn't be allowed to vote.
Right. That's the way I looked at it. You know, I mean, I would have voted for them. Reach out and contact me, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. If you don't have time to fill it out, I'll fill it out for you, and we can put your name on it. I don't have a problem with that. I'm sure Dan would do the same for somebody. So, you know, don't let your ballot go blank unless you honestly believe, and I know you mentioned it the other day, it may have been yesterday, that there was somebody who believes that all of these guys used something and don't belong in the Hall of Fame. So, but can we really have 14 of those guys?
Well, you know, but here's the other thing about it. You know, I don't remember the list, and I remember, you know, going over who submits for voting. And when we talked about it years ago, there was a big number of guys who, you know, were just kind of still doing it because once upon a time they covered baseball and they were still getting the ballot sent to them. And I mean, it's horseshit. The only people who should be voting for Hall of Fame, as it is according to the media, you know, because we're using the media and the writers, baseball writers, would be guys who are still active within, I don't know, I mean, mine is going to be a little rough, 5 years, but I think within the 10 years, you have to have at least 5 to 10 years of active baseball writing. Isn't that the whole point of it? Actually covering the game for the last 10 years. You know, but I know it's crazy because then some of the guys that aren't up, you know, just retired 5 years ago and then you're on the ballot for 10 years. So that's like 15 years. So, you know, maybe that's the magic number, but I'm sorry, if you don't cover baseball and it's been 2 or 3 years, then you shouldn't get you shouldn't be on the ballot. You shouldn't be getting a ballot anymore. You know, if you're not covering it for 1 year, maybe something happened and, you know, you're kind of coming back into it again. But if you're 3 years, you haven't covered baseball, then what the hell are you doing? No, not what the hell are you doing. What the hell is the Hall of Fame doing where they're not vetting and figuring out who actually covers baseball regularly and actually writes? They should be able to submit.
Yeah, and then just to finish off the Curt Schilling point, as much as he would, you know, he says he would like to be off the ballot, unfortunately, he doesn't have that power. It's up to the Hall of Fame to make that decision. So we'll, we'll have to see. But, you know, moving on from him, Dan, of course, the other two big guys, you know, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens saw their percentiles move into the 60s. They've got one more year to add 15%. Now, that would be a really big jump. But next year on the ballot, you know, Alex Rodriguez, another guy who is an admitted PED user, and then David Ortiz, who, you know, it was reported by, I want to say it was the New York Times, had a positive PE test that Major League Baseball never followed through with. He was never suspended. So, you know, they're going to pop up on the ballot. Now, I believe myself that it's not going to matter for Ortiz. You know, he's going to walk in as the first ballot guy because the media loves him. A-Rod, I think, is going to be in a very similar situation to Bonds and Clemens, and I don't know if he ever gets in.
I don't think he gets
in. And now this should also probably affect Bonds and Clemens a little. Where are you on these four guys rolling in the next year?
Bonds and Clemens, I'm not super hung up on, but for me, what does it is, you know, it's pretty much proven that once A-Rod left Seattle, he was on the juice the entire time from Texas to New York. And maybe the consideration would be different, but look at his career in New York after, you know, the steroid thing became a big deal and he was not allowed to take it anymore. Yeah, he was 35, but I don't know. The performance level just wasn't there.
So, yeah, and then what about Ortiz?
Ortiz? Well, like you said, I didn't even know he tested positive.
Yeah.
it was never brought up on. You know, granted, going back before the MLB Network started, the biggest debate, and I at the time I felt was the reason Harold Reynolds was, you know, knocked from Baseball Tonight was the fact that he did not think Ortiz would be a Hall of Famer because of the DH. And, you know, I am still kind of in that boat, but, you know, times change and, you know, maybe if the league is universal DH, maybe that will change some things. But let's be honest, the unwritten rule of Hall of Fame voting is that if you're a media darling, you're going to get in. And whatever boat I'm in doesn't even matter because I do not see him not getting in. He's a Hall of Famer. He's going to get in.
You know, and obviously there will be some more names on the ballot. We'll see Carl Crawford, Prince Fielder, Ryan Howard, Tim Lincecum, Justin Morneau, Jonathan Papelbon, Jake Peavy, Jimmy Rollins, and Mark Teixeira. It'll be a really good class of, new entrants into the voting, Dan, but unfortunately, I don't know if I see – I don't see any of these guys getting in the first time, and I don't even know if when it's all said and done any of these guys will get in, but I hope they give serious consideration to Lincecum, because we're talking about a guy who's got a couple career no-hitters, and I believe he won – was it 3 World Series titles with the Giants?
Yeah. 3.
So, there's a lot on that resume that kind of points to the Hall of Fame, and I wonder if he's going to be maybe the surprise guy here who gets a lot of votes that people aren't thinking about. But you look and, Ryan Howard was an MVP, so was Justin Morneau. So there are some guys with big talent, but do you see any of these guys – and again, not going in on the first ballot, but eventually getting in?
Maybe a couple. I don't know. I mean, Jake Peavy was definitely on that list, and then that injury in San Diego happened, and, unfortunately, there isn't a injured list Hall of Fame, right? He didn't do much here in Chicago.
Jimmy Rollins is also an MVP. He won the MVP the year after Howard or 2 years after. So, I mean, I look at this and I see guys who were very good players, but I just don't know if they were Hall of Fame level. And, you wonder if Prince Fielder hadn't had to cut his career short because of, the health
problem
he had, if maybe he does get in, but I don't think now. I think that killed his chances.
Yeah.
It'll be a really interesting list next year to see how that kind of works out.
Well, not only that, it's going to become the standards for the Hall of Fame are going to continue to drop. If you think about it, when Mike Trout retires, obviously he's going to get in. We don't even, we don't need to look at his numbers to know that he's going to get in. We all know he's going to get in because they're just going to vote him in because he's Mike Trout. But, he's going to slap me in the face with this one. He's got a career 304 batting average, so he wasn't my good example. If he continues on his run, I think he's going to be definitely worthy of it. The way the numbers are these days, with strikeouts being so high and then, the batting average being so low, that's one of the things that kills me. Kind of taking a look at Bryce Harper, his 9-year average is .276. But what would happen if we took away that 2015 batting average performance of .330, which he hasn't been able to achieve another run like that season, his MVP season. You take that, how far does that drop? You know what I mean? So, to me, I don't know. I think in 10 years, if we're both still around doing this, I don't even think we'll probably even bother discussing the Hall of Fame unless it's the Veteran Committee. I don't know. I just...
Yeah, and, and obviously with the way pitchers are handled now, you have no choice but to change the Hall of Fame qualifications or else nobody gets in because we're never, and I mean never, going to see another 300-game winner.
No
pitcher will ever win 300 games again. But I mentioned to you Lincecum earlier, Dan, and now here's what we're looking at number-wise. He's 110-89 in his 10-year career. And he has a 3.74 career ERA. So that's a little high for a Hall of Famer. But you add that to 10 complete games, seven of which were shutouts. And I mentioned the two no-hitters. He also has one save because he spent some time in the bullpen. And, you know, I completely forgot, Dan, because it was coming up on, you know, I'm losing my here, 10, 15, 12 years now. He won back-to-back Cy Young Awards in 08 and 09. So, you know, he was super dominant. He also led baseball, or I believe the National League, in strikeouts three consecutive seasons. So, you know, even though it was a short career, you're looking at a really good resume. Just hope they don't get stuck on those last couple years where he really struggled. You know, like he tried that comeback with the Angels and it didn't go well. He was 2-6 with his ERA over 9. But, you know, I think you got to, you know, you've got to look at that whole body of work. And again, we're talking about a guy who was integral on three World Series winners, two as a starter and one as a reliever. Remember how huge he was coming out of the bullpen for the Giants in that third World Series they won with him? He probably would have been the MVP, but they only needed him a couple times against the who did they beat? Was it the Tigers they beat in that? No, it was I don't even know who they beat in the last one.
So, 14. That was the Nationals.
Kansas City. Was it Kansas City, right? They beat in the last.
It was Kansas City.
Yeah,
it was Kansas City because the Giants can't play the Nationals in the World Series. Big damn the man.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, and again, while I don't think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, I don't think I would have any problem with him getting in a little later down the line just looking at this resume.
But
again, you know, that's me, and I, you know, I'm an idiot. So,
well, no, and I was going to say, I don't. Obviously, they don't care about not voting guys in. You know, it's not like a thing. So, you know, it's not like they're going to have to vote for somebody in. But you've got to wonder when you put all these guys up together, how much does Lincecum kind of get that love, and maybe possibly he could be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And I don't want to say it's by default, but by just, you know, numbers alone and being able to kind of, in a roundabout way, outperforming, you know, his predecessors. Well, I guess they all came
at the same time,
but
unfortunately, I think there are too many holdovers for him to really be a first ballot Hall of Famer, you know, because, you know, obviously, again, I don't understand this one, but Scott Rolen has gotten a lot of press. So he's going to get a boatload of votes. You know, we had Omar Vizquel, who we didn't talk about. He's still going to get a ton of votes. Todd Helton made a big jump. And then you add Schilling, Bonds, and Clemens. You know, that's already filling up 6 of your 10 votes. So it's going to be tough because you figure a lot of people are going to vote for Ortiz. You know, I don't care what anybody says. He's going to get a lot of votes. There are going to be votes for A-Rod. You know, there's still going to be guys who buy in that. I know if you had a ballot, you'd be voting for Jeff Francoeur, who's a first timer, but that's just you.
Shut up.
I just don't think there's going to be enough room on people's ballots to get him in the first time. But, you know, as guys start to go away and, you know, because it's Schilling, Bonds, Clemens, and Sosa, it's their last shot. So one way or the other, they're either in or off the ballot. And obviously we know Sammy is off the ballot. You know, Jeff Kent has 2 years left. Gary Sheffield has 3. So they're going to be slipping off soon. Obviously that opens up new spots. So, I think he gets in eventually because he's going to be the best pitcher left on the ballot. I mean, you mentioned Jake Peavy, but Lincecum has a better resume than Peavy. Mark Burley's not far behind him, but I think Lincecum is better than Burley or Andy Pettit. Of course, Pettit has the Yankee fans behind him, so that'll help his campaign. And Tim Hudson barely held on this year, so who knows if he'll even still be on the ballot next year. So we'll see. But I think eventually he gets in, and I hope he gets in because I think he deserves it. So I'm looking at some of the other first-timers here. Hey, A.J. Pruszynski comes on the ballot next year. How about that?
Do you think that – well, I guess twofold. Do you think – and you would have better knowledge than I would just because I maybe didn't follow them as much. Of course, we're talking about the White Sox here. But do you think, in your opinion, is Mark Burley a Hall of Famer? And whether or not you think he is, do you think he gets snubbed just because he – snubbed, overlooked because he played for the White Sox?
Yeah, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. I believe he's right there. He does have the World Series title, but, he never won a Cy Young. He does have, the two no-hitters, the one perfect – I believe one of them was a perfect game. So he has a good legacy. What's odd about Burley that I found odd, Dan, is he could have kept pitching. And, he ended his career with 214 career wins. If he would have stuck around, maybe three more seasons with the right team, he could have padded maybe 50 more wins on that because he was averaging 12 to 15 wins a season. If he's a 260 or 270 win guy, then I think we're talking about something there. But, I just don't – I don't think the numbers are there enough. I mean, he was one of the best field pitchers to ever play, but they're not going to take that into account. He actually only entered in the Cy Young voting one time, and he finished fifth. So, while I think he was a very good pitcher, I just don't think there's enough of an equivalent to be a Hall of Famer. But he did get, I believe it was 11% of the vote yesterday. So maybe slowly but surely he builds a campaign. But I don't see it. I don't buy him as a Hall of Famer.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. You're right. I mean, I didn't cover the White cover. I didn't really even tune into the White Sox for anything. Definitely didn't attend a game during his career. But, of course, as a baseball fan, though, you see the highlights, and that's what I saw. You brought up the perfect game, the fielding, a lot of that stuff, and, I guess maybe I'm just proving why I don't have a vote. But, I guess I never put that into play. But I guess then hypothetically, if you thought he was, and, let's say he had a Cy Young and maybe voted in the top five three more times, right? I think that might sway you a little bit more, kind of from what, I got from you. So if he had that, I guess hypothetically what I'm saying too is, would he get snubbed because he's a White Sox? I mean, Harold Baines did get in, but, it just seems like the White Sox always getting forgotten about. Remember when they forgot about, National forgot about their World Series win on national TV, so – I don't know. I just wanted to get your opinion on that, too.
You do wonder. That's always a possibility. But humorously, with the exception of mentioning the fact that he'd be snubbed as a White Sox, you just described Andy Pettit not even knowing it. He had five top top six Cy Young finishes in his career. You know, never won the award, but finished in the top six five times. You know, and of course, the big thing for him is he's got those five World Series wins. But, you know, like the question for me with Pettit has always been, would he have been this pitcher had he not pitched for the Yankees? You know, if he would have spent his career with the, you know, the Blue Jays or the Mets or, you know, even the Dodgers, you know, would he still be revered upon like he is? So I think, you know, if Burley had pitched for the Yankees or the Red Sox, we might have a different case here, and they would be rubbing those two no-hitters in our face, and we would be hearing about it all the time. So, it's possible that, yeah, there is a little less buzz because he was a career White Sox. You know, I know he did finish out what he had a year, or was it a half a year in Miami? And then he proceeded to finish up with Toronto. But you don't think of Mark Burley in any of those uniforms. And if he went into the Hall of Fame, he would go in as a White Sox. So, you know, I think maybe that does hurt him because he never got that big stage opportunity that these voters seem to love when you talk about guys. So, you know, we'll have to see. But Dan, I think it's we gotta let the Hall of Fame stuff go. I think we've discussed it quite a bit these last couple days. But I know this is a difficult topic for you. There were multiple free agent signings overnight of players that you and I actually know and have had on fantasy teams and either root for or root against. And this one signing is probably going to be a double-edged sword for you. As a Cub fan, it's going to be incredibly heartbreaking. But as somebody who also likes, you know, enjoys watching the Giants and roots for them, it might be okay. I don't know if you heard this, Dan, but the Cubs' number one free agent priority, that's right, the number one guy on their board, Tommy La Stella, signed a 3-year deal to join the San Francisco Giants. Dan, how you doing with that? You processing that okay? Wait, you faded out a little. Fix your Bluetooth or whatever faded away there.
There we go. No, I think that's a great signing for the Giants.
So yeah, and it does look like he'll step in and be the full-time second baseman with San Francisco.
San Francisco's had their issues at the middle infield. So, you know, maybe he could produce there. I just never believed he was a third baseman, you know. I don't know. There's just, you know, whatever. It's a good spot for him. I think it's a good signing. Go Giants.
So, yeah, and he's had some, you know, really good last couple of seasons. You know, 2019 was cut short by injury. You know, last year he split time between the Angels and the A's, but he played really well in both spots. So it'll be, interesting. And as you know, I'm not a Tommy La Stella fan, but it has nothing to do with his ability. You know, it just has to do with the fact that he was a complete tool bag when the Cubs wanted to send him down. But, you know, it looks like a really good move, and it does, you know, help round out that Giants infield, for at least one more year, because I know I believe Crawford, Belt, and Posey all become free agents at the end of the season. And, you know, like we've mentioned it here in Chicago a few times, Dan, there's no way they're going to be able to bring all three back, you know, if they all want to come back. So, you know, at least they'll have La Stella to kind of hopefully settle down what may be a really young lineup next season, depending on how they go about, you know, bringing who back or what where. So we'll have to see. Yeah, I don't know, just kind of, you know, kind of a fun signing there. And then we had some other movement, Dan. We had Marcus Semien join the Blue Jays. I was a little surprised by that on a one-year deal. Andrelton Simmons is going to the Minnesota Twins. Freddie Galvis inked a deal with the Baltimore Orioles. And we talked a little bit about catching yesterday. Wilson Ramos got a one-year deal from the Detroit Tigers. So, you know, it took a while to kind of get things going, but slowly but surely we're knocking these free agents off the board that, you know, we actually know their names and can, you know, kind of discuss who they are and what they might bring to a team. Out of those things, Ramos, Simmons, Semien, and Galvis, you like one better than the other?
Maybe Fitzsimmons. Kind of hope he kind of, you know, he had a bigger splash than the other guys, or he's supposed to. So maybe we'll get to see him at a top form finally. Because he was with Anaheim, right? It just didn't seem to work out that great.
Well, you know, he had some good years out there, but, you know, he ran into a little bit of an injury bug.
Yeah.
So, you know, but what was really interesting, Dan, is obviously three of those guys I mentioned were shortstops. That leaves Didi hanging out on the market. Why didn't anybody bring Didi in?
They don't know what they're missing.
You know, and you know, because at first I was thinking maybe it was money, because you know, like you know, Simmons only got $10.5 million. We don't know what La Stella's deal is, but Semien got $18.1 million to join the Blue Jays, and I was like, man, I think Didi would have came in for that or less. So,
yeah. Well, not only that.
What
was LeMahieu's contract with the Yankees? Wasn't that pretty large?
Oh, God. 6 years and like $196 million or something. So.
I mean, so, you know, I don't think Didi would get something like that, but he's got to be looking for something a little more.
Yeah, and, you know, you maybe just wonder if maybe he doesn't want to deal. You know, maybe that's the hang up.
Possibly.
You know, but, you know, because, like, I was, you know, kind of, you know, looking at the Blue Jays signing, and I'm curious how their infield is going to shake out, because, you know, they were pretty well set before they added Semien, you know, because, you know, Vladis said that he would like to go back and play third base. You know, he worked to get in shape to do that. You know, obviously, Bo Bichette is locked in at short, which was Semien's main position. And then Kevin Biggio was playing second, and, you know, Rowdy Tellez was over at first base. But now, you know, adding Semien in, does he play second? Does he play third? You know, does Vlad go back to first? Then, I mean, it'll give them a lot of flexibility. But you know, and I know, when you start to bounce these young players around, you know, and I know everybody can play everywhere now, that's how baseball is set up, but when you bounce these guys around like that, it can hurt them at the plate. And I just wonder if maybe they overthought the signing and may have been better spending the money someplace else, but you know, he'll definitely be a good add to the team. I'm interested to know how they're going to use him. You got any ideas?
I think that's what everybody's wondering, right?
I thought so. So,
you know, is he like the guy that comes up for Vlad's DH days? You know, is that kind of where you're putting him, or so is he going to be a role player, kind of just going between the three positions, almost like Tommy Lasala did here with the Cubs?
Yeah, you know, and that's what I'm trying to figure out. You know, I no idea. So, you know, and then, you know, the other thing, Dan, you know, I ask you this all the time about how do Cub fans feel. What right now, if you're an Oakland A's fan, because yesterday you just saw your entire middle infield signed away, and now your starting middle infield is Tony Kemp at second and Chad Pinder at short. You know, barring any other changes, if I'm the A's, I'm on the phone with Didi going, buddy, what do you need to come in? But, you know, the A's don't like to spend money. So is that the issue here in Oakland?
I think it's the big issue. And, you know, Oakland fans, no it's going to sound mean, but they don't show up anyways. I mean, wasn't the only game that the A's sold out? 2 years, and 2019 was the game where it was like everything was free or a dollar, you know, against the White Sox for that like anniversary date game. So,
but yeah, because I, you know, just kind of looking and wondering, and you know, humorously, if they would have offered Semien the qualifying offer and he would have taken it, they would have got it for less than what the Blue Jays signed him for. You know, and they were another team who said one of their big priorities this offseason was bringing Listella back. Obviously, it wasn't that big of a priority.
Well, maybe like you said, well, you know, maybe they all know how he is. So they needed to put that out there in the press.
Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, now that the shortstop market has thinned out, Dan, do you see Addison Russell possibly getting a contract with somebody?
What has he done since? Did he, was he overseas?
Yeah, I remember he went to Korea last year. He played a little bit in Korea, but he was just there on the short-term deal.
That's a tough one. I think it's a maybe 30% chance, but you know, obviously low money. He never did he even make it out of arbitration. He never got a contract, so he was just what DFA, I believe.
Yeah, I think I can maybe double check that, but I think he was one of those guys who may have signed a deal to eat up some of his arbitration years, possibly. So I'll have to I'll see if I can bing it here while we're going over things. But that for some reason that sounds right, you know. And you know, and all along I thought he was gonna get one of those, hey, we'll sign you and invite you to spring training type of deals. So I wonder if that is still in the works possibly. Do you see maybe something more like that happening for him?
I think that's a possibility.
You know, and then oddly, does he lose his arbitration if he since he was cut the way he was? Well, here goes, Dan. Yeah, he made $3.4 million in he got signed before he went to arbitration, and he would be an unrestricted free agent next year. So he did get to the arbitration process.
So, well, he can negotiate his own deal then, right?
Yes, yeah, and he's a Scott Boras guy. So I did not know that. But if I remember correctly, and I want to double check here, I believe he struggled a little bit in Korea and didn't end up playing well. You know, now obviously he's still a great defender, which may get him into a camp. But obviously he's, you know, the only thing baseball is about right now is hitting. I mean, I don't honestly think they care if you can catch the damn baseball as long as you can hit. So he's, you know, he's going to have to be able to prove his merit as a hitter. But I don't know. Well, you know, he had a 20 homer season with the Cubs, right?
Yeah.
So.
But he never repeated that.
No.
My
internet is being a
part of the problem.
So, yeah, I'm sure, you know, it had to be, right? I mean, part of the issue. Let's see if we can get his Korean numbers here. This should give it to me. Come on. Oh, all right. Yeah, he played 65 games. Well, he did hit 254. So he wasn't quite the disaster that they made him out to be. So, yeah, he wasn't terrible. He did only hit two home runs, and normally guys go over there and end up hitting a lot of homers. I don't know. It's an interesting case, and I would like to see him get another chance because he's only 27. So I wonder if a team like Oakland, where he actually started out, remember, he was a first-round pick for them. You know, maybe they're the team to give him a chance.
Possibly. Come back to Oakland.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, why not, right? You know, see what kind of happens. But yeah, I don't think there's not even any, you know, any big hot rumors or anything on him. So I guess we'll have to see how it goes. But, you know, moving on, Dan, we got to switch up sports here a little bit because we seem to have this story that does not want to die. And this is where I guess I kind of need your help explaining it to me because I don't understand why they can't let this Aaron Rodgers story go. You know, like he came out yesterday and basically said he doesn't expect to be playing anywhere else but Green Bay next year. And yet everybody is still on the bandwagon about him either holding out and forcing a trade or holding out for a new contract. Why is it just the fact that it's Super Bowl week and there's absolutely nothing to talk about except the Super Bowl? Or did they just get tired of the Houston Texans being the only team to need a head coach that they're just looking for anything else at this point and they're hanging on for dear life to not let this go?
I think that's part of it. I mean, aren't they doing the Pro Bowl on John Madden football game on, you know, PlayStation or whatever? So I mean, you're not really covering that so much. So, you know, you need something, right?
Yeah, you know, but there's other things going on. I mean, you know, I get it's not a huge story, but Jason Witten retired. There's a gigantic quarterback trading market besides Aaron Rodgers. You know, the Lions have said they want to deal Matthew Stafford. You know, Deshaun Watson wants out of Texas. You know, the Rams haven't committed to Jared Goff. God only knows what the Eagles are doing with Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurts. You know, there's plenty of stuff that you can still discuss and talk about. Because, I mean, this is a non-story. I mean, you've got nothing here anymore. And this all started out, Dan, because they got an upset quote from a guy on Zoom after they had won a championship. How did you think he was going to pull? He just lost. But every NFL show I turn on talks about this, and I just turned off.
Well, in his defense, or I guess for players, end of it, the media expects you to just come out and say whatever. But I don't know. I mean, it just seems like they jump all over, and then it's made a huge spectacle from the losing quarterback. And I'm proposing a new amendment to NFL bylaws or whatever that the losing quarterback gets to go home, go take a shower, go home, you know, eat some food, go home, go to bed, wake up, look at his kids, I don't know, you know, do whatever he does at home, and then get to have, you know, a prime time if you want to make such a big deal out of it, and let this guy just chill out, you know, for the day. And I'm not saying it just like, oh, poor losing quarterback, and, you know, Dan the Man, you're a Bears fan, you're not supposed to say any of that. You know, go back to Cam Newton with his loss. I mean, the hoodie and the whole nine. You know, you're asking this guy all these questions, and if you put yourself in their position, what would you be thinking, Big Jack? Nothing. I just effing lost the game, you know. I just effing lost the pinnacle of my career. You know, the one thing that cements your legacy. And it means a lot to the quarterback because, you know, like you've said 1,000 times, when the team loses, it's the quarterback's fault. But when they win, he gets all the praise, you know. So you put that out there, and it just seems like a continuous thing that they have to just blow out of proportion the losing quarterback's, you know, comments. And I don't even, you know, at this point, Big Jack, who won? I guess it wasn't the Super Bowl, but, you know, championship. But, you know, at this point, who won the game? Oh, that's right, Tom Brady. You know, but if we keep talking about Aaron Rodgers, I don't even remember who they played, right?
Yeah.
As I ramble on.
Who played? Oh, they had a game? Wait, when did they play? Oh. So.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like, I don't know. I think that's one of the positives you can take away from professional wrestling, in the sense that I guess they can't really take that away because that only counted for the guys, for the workers. So fans cared about who won or lost. So I don't know.
So yeah, you know, but yeah, it's baffling. You know, when it's over and over, and there's, you know, like I said, there's so many other things going on that they could be talking about that they just kind of, no, let's beat this Aaron Rodgers thing to the ground until it means nothing, even though there's absolutely nothing that's going to come of it. You know, maybe he will get a new contract because, you know, he's got a couple years left, and I believe they're not guaranteed. So I'm sure he would want some guaranteed money. So I won't be surprised if he gets a new deal. But, you know, when week one rolls around next season, you know who's going to be the Packers quarterback, right, Dan?
Brett Favre.
I'll say Brett Favre. Yeah. You know, and then, like, the weirdest thing, Dan, is, like, I'm listening to people tell me that, well, you know, Aaron Rodgers is still upset because the Packers drafted a quarterback in the first round last year. He just had an MVP season. Do you think he cares about last year or Jordan Love or any of that right now? I mean, you know, maybe he's wondering if they're going to bring Aaron Jones back because that was his top running back and he's a free agent. But if not, Jamal Williams showed he could play, and so did Aaron Dillon. So they've got guys lined up to fill in if Jones decides to sign elsewhere. They've got Davante Adams under contract. I'm sure they'll draft another wide receiver or two to help him out. I you know, and again, it's just – oh, well, you know, he's upset. Yeah, he was upset in that interview because, again, he had just lost the chance to go to the Super Bowl, which he's only been to one time. Of course he was upset. You know, it's just like morons. You know, all I keep thinking is you get paid to do this and you're an idiot. You know, why are we talking about it? So I just don't get it. It literally makes me criminally insane. If I was to kill one of them, I could probably get off. I would be insane. So. You know, just kind of baffling. But I did wait a little bit, Dan. I forgot to ask yesterday. How did your fantasy teams do? Did you have a breakout? I think it was officially the first full week. So did you have a breakout in both your leagues?
I did pretty well. You mean the first week of two going at the same time?
Yeah.
Well, hockey. I'm actually in eighth in my division. Apparently, I didn't do the settings right because we're just doing the NBA way. 10-7. So you know, I got a win, and I have 21 points. Oh, so we're really like a hockey league. I didn't realize that. I'm pretty happy. You know, it was kind of funny though between the three goalies I have. Man, if they could stay healthy all season, I think I finished the week off with 10 games started. So if these guys keep up this rotation, you know, I could just check that one off every week. The game started, I got, you know, 6 wins, so pretty nice. Obviously, though, the one I probably won't win is the shots on, but, you know, have the most saves and save percentage. Just was mad that I tied for the shutout. I'm like, you know, how often does that happen? And then it happens the same week that your opponent gets it. So the one category that made me nervous all week, Big Jack in hockey, and be interested to hear what your thoughts and how you went with this week too, is, you know, all week my plus minus was super high. And I don't know what happened, what turned around in the last couple over the weekend. But it was pretty cool that the other team, well, pretty cool. I sound like a nerd right now. Oh, man. The other team had flip-flopped, and I went -7, and he went -20. So I got, you know, I won another category. And then I was lucky enough to get 2 shorthand points, but I lost the game-winning goals. It's kind of my breakdown for the week. I didn't realize we were going to – I didn't mean to go that far into it. But
solid week.
I don't know. I think the hockey a little bit more fun, you know.
I got booked up. I was kind of disappointed. My team just doesn't want to score goals. So I don't know how I'm gonna rectify that. I got to find somebody to put the biscuit in the basket, as they say. My plus minus was very similar to yours. I did win it, but I was -11. So, you know, that kind of hurt. My goaltenders are just fine if they would stop having to sit out for COVID or get injured. That would make things very interesting. But I got 8 starts. You had 10. I had 8. And I only got one of them from Bobrovsky, and he was my big time, you know, one of my big time goalies that I paid for. So I need him and Vasilevsky to actually play. And that will really help out. But yeah, I only had 14 goals. So I got thumped up 11-5. So I'm starting out in a hole. And unfortunately, I don't think my matchup started off any better this week. But luckily it's only Wednesday and I still have time to get going. Yeah. I'm down 10-4 in this matchup already. So yeah, I either need somebody to start scoring goals or I'm going to have to go out and maybe swap a goalie for a goal scorer. But, you know, we'll see how that works out. So, you know, otherwise, you know, so you know when I hit the waiver wire, I'm going to be looking for scorers.
You know, I mean, with hockey, I just have to say I won 7-3 in the NBA, but not really anything to glorify over. It was one of the dead teams. I got to check on it out again this weekend, make sure my updates. But, you know, with the hockey, I think it's the one thing that makes it easier, and especially for the way we play with the stats, is you can literally focus on a particular stat. And I honestly, with the exception of power play points, shorthand points, and game-winning goals, I mean, those you can kind of filter on and get an idea. But I think the rest of them, you could filter on a field and then really just find those guys. And if you need to boost it, you can add that guy in for the week and maybe the last couple of weeks, and your numbers will go up. You know, obviously you got to make up for who you're dropping, but you know, even in the event of injury, I don't know. That's one of the things I like with the hockey one. You could do that a little bit more than, you know, with basketball or pretty much with the NBA. You know, I mean, you could still kind of replicate that, but you know, in the NBA, they do a lot more, I guess, where I think hockey, they're a little bit more specialized.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And you know, that's the one thing I like about hockey is you can go and look, you know, like I said, obviously I need scoring. So I'm going to go look for goal scorers, you know, no doubt about that. So, you know, but, you know, other, or, you know, if you need hits or you need blocks or, you know, whatever you need. And I'm hoping I was just up against a good team and, you know, I'll have a better week this week and things will work out for me. But, you know, the NBA, I did manage to win. I won 6-5, but I'll take it. A win. And I'm up 7-4 so far. But unfortunately, my best player, who turned out to be Devin Booker, is out tonight. And I hope this isn't a long-term thing. They're saying it's a hamstring strain. So we'll see how that works out. But I did want to ask you basketball-wise, did you end up with Lonzo Ball? Because I heard a really rough story today how the Pelicans are already ready to move on from him. And I'm just like, man, is LaMelo going to be the only decent Ball who ends up in the NBA? And I do have LaMelo, by the way, so he's awesome. Oh. You know, and LeVar hasn't called me about playing him, so I'm okay so far.
Yeah.
But, I mean, do you buy that? I mean, they've had him for no time at all, and they're already ready to move on. I also heard they want to move your guy, J.J. Redick.
Oh, well, if they're talking about moving guys, I think, well, you know, maybe it's just not working out. It's just not working out. It's time, but you know, the little bit I've seen of Lonzo, he just does not look happy there. Maybe it's just on the, at the moment, you know, the shot, whatever. But he just has this, I don't know, he just doesn't have a same face as his brother. And obviously they're not identical twins, but what I mean by that is you could just see, I don't know, there's like this light inside of Melo, right? You know, not a light, but he's young, he's excited to be in the NBA, he wants to play. That's my point.
There you go. We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4:30 to do this again. But while we're on full time radio, I'm happy to get over there and look at the long one. So, don't forget, we also have to put in the news at full time radio. Doing my little phone on Twitter if you want to look at that. We're cool with that. And if you stop on and listen to the blog, well, thanks for doing what we do. We appreciate that. Don't forget, the podcast is available to you if you want to listen to it anytime you want at tunein.com.
SourceTimeRadio.com.